Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a special treat for you, and I know that I build up all my shows, and then, of course, as you continue to listen, you see why they're so cool and fun, and we try to bring you interesting guests, and we're not straying at all from that goal today. We have a homegrown local guest for you today with a wonderful story, an inspiring story, an interesting story, and wherever you are, pull over. You're going to be captivated and may run off the road by our discussion today with Nancy Tedeschi. She's an entrepreneur and an inventor of Snap It Screw, and you can take a look at what she's done at Snap It Screw, just like I said, snapitscrew.com. And her story is a wonderful one. She became a successful entrepreneur in spite of or despite many obstacles thrown her way. And she's been just all over the place, well-regarded, well-received, awards and accolades, and featured all over the media. And I could start giving you a name of all the places: Bloomberg, Business Week, Kiplinger, featured on NBC's Today Show, ABC's Good Morning America. Even Steve Harvey, when he took time off from doing the Family Feud, even talked to Nancy about what she's doing. I got you with that one, Nancy. I heard you laughing in the background. Welcome, Nancy, to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you appreciate my humor. Unfortunately, I write it all myself, so some of it works, some of it doesn't, so just bear with me. Okay, so I'm inspired by your story, Nancy, and I want to first let you tell people about your invention, and then we'll fill in some of the backstory, and then what you're doing now. The cool thing is Nancy's right here in Volusia County. For those of you listening to this program in Alberta, Canada, on your smartphone, we're talking with Nancy. One of the neat things about her is she's right here in Volusia County, the greater Daytona Beach market in Florida, enjoying our wonderful weather. But she's got a great story. So tell me about your invention, Nancy, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so I invented a screw, and everybody laughs when I say that, but it's actually a very successful screw. It's an eyeglass repair screw. It has an extended tab on it, so it actually helps you align your glasses and actually fit the screw into the hole so you don't have to deal with those little tiny screws anymore.
Hmm.
And once you get it in there and you screw it down, you just break it off and your glasses are fixed. It takes all of about 15 seconds.
That's pretty cool.
There's actually a video on my website at Snap It Screw if they want to take a look at how it works.
Well, so sometimes the simpler, you know what do they say? Sometimes the simplest solution is the best solution.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that I always say is how come, you know, I wish I had a dollar for every time somebody said to me, why didn't I think of that? When Steve Harvey said it to me after a show, he said, geez, Nancy, how come I didn't think of that? And I said, because God saved it for me. I said, because if you thought of it, I go, he saved it for me so I could get almost as rich as you.
That's right. Well, he was too, Steve didn't tell you. He was just too, a little too busy picking out those very cool suits he would wear on the television program. I mean, that's
nice
one dapper, that's one dapper dude, let me tell you. But you know what? I mean, we all have our thing and our contribution to the world. And sometimes it's a little thing, but I love that you, now I have to back all the way up and say, what inspired you to do this? Did you just say, doggone it, that putting a screw into this eyeglass thing is just too hard. Why didn't somebody do it an easier way? And you started finagling with it? Is that
no,
how it started?
No, it's actually even a better story than that. My mother was over in Nicaragua, and she was actually doing some missionary work over there, and she broke her glasses, and she actually took her earring out of her ear and stuck it through the hole in the glasses to keep the stem on, and she had this dangly bead hanging from her glasses. And my mother's like a world traveler. She's been all over, 7 continents, everything. And she kept this bead hanging from her glasses for about a year. And everywhere she went, people would stop her and say, where did you get that bead? And she would say, oh, I made it. So after about a year of doing this, she came to me and she said, Nancy, you have to invent beads for glasses.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
My actual first patent is on the beads for the glasses. But in the process of doing that, I had to figure out a way to get the charm onto the glasses, and I kept taking out those little screws, and one day I just had an aha moment. So, you know what they say, you know, necessity is the mother of invention.
Well, you know what? I mean, if somebody wants a bead hanging off their glasses, have at it. That's, you know, I mean, that's what the kids are all doing these days. But you know what? I love the fact that you've come up with something. So you came up with the idea, and then what'd you do next?
Well, I Google was my best friend for the first 3 years of the invention because I didn't have a clue where to start. So I actually Googled because I knew that I wanted to explore getting patents to protect it so nobody could sell it other than me. And so the first thing I did after, well, first I had an engineer draw it for me from my head to his paper. I explained it to him and he put it on paper for me. And then I actually found a patent agent and started from there and applied for my first patent.
Okay. And so once you did that, then you designed it, and did you then take it to one of the major retailers? Was that the route you took?
No. I actually the first thing I did was after I got a prototype made, I actually went to the optical industry.
Okay.
Because I mean, it's a very difficult process, and a lot of frustration comes along with it, but tenacity is one of my strengths. And so I originally took it to a magazine called Vision Monday, where I asked them to feature a little article, and it's an optical magazine. They put a picture of it in a magazine, and it said my company made an easier way to fix glasses. And I got a phone call from an optometrist down in New York City, and that was the beginning of a very successful run into the optical industry. Won some awards from the United States optical industry, and actually found a distributor, and I actually ended up licensing it to the distributor after 3 years, and it's the largest lens company in the world called Essilor, and that's for the United States.
Wow. Now, what about any entrance into the international community?
Yeah, I have 28 patents.
Good grief.
And this year already I've been to Dubai and to Germany 2 times, Italy 2 times, and the UK.
All necessary trips, yes. All necessary to maintain your business relationships, fully deductible, of course. So that's very good.
That's right. And now I'm working on a deal right now in Europe.
Good.
Do a licensing deal the same as I did in the United States, and then I'll go over to Asia. I have some patents over there as well.
Well, I have to ask you if you're going to make your way to Russia and maybe with visit with Vladimir Putin. I understand he has a screw. I understand he has a screw loose.
He has a screw loose, and I actually have a patent there as well.
Whatever it takes for world peace, Nancy. Thank you very much. I mean, I think it would be hysterical. You send one of these around every world leader and say, just what you need to fix what ails you.
That's right.
No, I think, all kidding aside, this is not some garage project, ladies and gentlemen. Nancy, I want to tell them that the last count we got from you, and you may have an updated number for us, but you've sold over 5 million screws and over 400,000 eyeglass repair kits.
Oh, yeah. I think it's even above that. That's an older figure, but it just shows just the success that I've had.
Wow.
And like I said, everybody has ideas. It's just taking it to the market is the tough part of it. So,
well, that's the part I want to talk about next, and I know that you are working on ways to help other people figure this out and even learn, and we can talk to them a little bit about that. Let's grab a quick break. We'll be right back with Nancy Tedeschi, ladies and gentlemen. Stay right there.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations and yes to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, with an inspiring story from Nancy Tedeschi, and you'll understand more about that inspiration in just a moment. Before we get to that, Nancy, for those people out there just going, I want to do that. I've got an idea. I want, and boy. So you're working on something special in terms of like a class or a program you put together. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, I'm actually putting together a little academy for innovation in the Daytona area. I have an IP lawyer and I are we're going to try and do a class a month, which would be a week-long course, 5 days. From 9 in the morning till 5 at night, and teaching them hands-on limited size class. It would be an application to get into the program because I want to work with people that, you know, I think I can really help
bring
a product to the market.
That's so wonderful.
It's an exciting venture because there's not too many places in this country where you can go and learn it.
That's very good. And how do people sign up or get the application in or get in touch with you? What's the best way for them to do that?
Well, they can email me at snapitscrew@gmail.com.
All right. That's pretty straightforward.
And then I can send them out a brochure.
All right. snapitscrew@gmail.com.
That's it.
Okay. That's pretty simple. You got that, ladies and gentlemen? snapitscrew@gmail.com. It's a mouthful, but it's worth getting there. All right. And then they can get more information. And so that'll let you kind of come full circle to helping others. The thing that is really inspiring about your story, Nancy, that I want to talk about, and it sounds like a Cinderella story and how everything just worked out beautifully. But for you, you overcame a lot of challenges. And I think that really is for me, it's a big part of the story because you could have gone on to do a lot of things in your life, but you've done this and really, you brought a really useful product to market, but you started out with an actual rather difficult journey, and you can tell it best. So where did things start, and give people a sense for what were some of the challenges?
Well, first of all, when you don't know, I mean, my background is in real estate. Mm-hmm. I owned a title insurance company for 20 years, so I've always been pretty much an entrepreneur, but I knew nothing about innovation or how to bring a product to the market. So I did use Google a lot, and I tell a lot of people now today that, you know, the idea is the simple part. I mean, it's getting the stages that you have to go through to get it to the actual shelf, as I did in Walmart, were very challenging and very depressing, quite frankly. I mean, I tell people that, you know, they look at the end result, but the struggle to get there when you have one product and you're dealing with retail as well as other avenues, you know, it's not easy to break through the doors of the big box retailers with one SKU item. First of all, they don't like it, and the paperwork is unbelievable. And, you know, so I made a lot of mistakes, and that's one of my passions now. I say that I hate the screw, and people laugh, but I did hate the process. I don't hate the screw, and I don't hate where it's gotten me in life. But the process and how to do it is just so antiquated to where we should be in this country. So I'm actually trying to develop a way to make it easier for people like myself. I mean, if you're a big company and you have an idea, then, you know, the company brings it to the market for you. But guess what? You don't own it.
Right. Right. That's right. And, you know, you made the discerning point of in this country, I mean, in other countries around the world, some of these processes can be a lot easier. And, you know, I'm sure with every, you know, process and regulation or procedure that we have in our country, there's, you know, was a well-intending reason for doing it. But it does seem to be a rather cumbersome process looking at it from the outside.
Oh, it's the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. It's just, to me, it when I think back at it, I look at it and I think of pain. And it's so important for me to say that because, you know, people look at my idea and they go, oh, it's so simple. And it is simple. But this whole process is daunting and it needs to change in this country because, you know, we're supposed to be the most innovative country in the world. But when you have a product like mine, which is simple, you would think it would be simple to get it into the hands of the consumer because it actually saves you 5 minutes fixing your glasses. Yeah. And a lot of frustration.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Well, one would think it would be easy in what has been billed as the most innovative country in the world, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, I guess it's like a lot of things with regulation. You know, they're spoken of in terms of almost like a pendulum where it over-regulation, then under-regulation, and over-regulation. But I agree with you. It can be very frustrating for people, and there's lots of things that people probably would do if it would be a lot easier. So I think it's exciting that you'll be working on a school to help people do that and help them move it forward. And in terms of your own, you know, the story of what you've done is pretty cool. You started out, though, with some challenges. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how you had to really, you know, reevaluate or rethink your view of the world?
Are you speaking of my childhood?
Yes. I mean, I think that's really an inspirational part of your story, Nancy, that we really... well, I'll tell you what, you think about it for a second. I want to talk about that, and you prepare for that, and we'll grab a quick break. We'll come back and talk about it. Nancy Tedeschi, ladies and gentlemen, entrepreneur, inventor of Snap It Screw. SnapItScrew.com is the website. And then to get information about her upcoming classes on how to bring your ideas to the market, SnapItScrew@gmail.com. Right back with Nancy after this break.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit PlanStronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, with Nancy Tedeschi, entrepreneur and inventor of Snap It Screw and the website snapitscrew.com. And Nancy, I wanted to get to your, you know, more of your personal story, and I appreciate your willingness to indulge us a little bit and to understand that, you know, not only can other people do what you've done and follow this entrepreneurial drive that you have and to take a chance and work on something and know that you can make a difference in other people's lives, but also to overcome challenges that they, you know, may have had either in their upbringing or in their childhood or in their development, and, you know, maybe a bad set of playing cards, if you will, that sometimes use an analogy, to overcome those challenges to do what you've done or, you know, something similar. So that's really what I wanted to get to next, if you don't mind getting into a little bit of that personal story, because I think it really will inspire other people to, you know, embrace the opportunities they may have.
Yeah, well, I was the kid in school that got bullied. I had very big buck teeth, and I was the kid that sat alone in the classroom, and all the kids picked on me. And at some point in my childhood, I kind of disassociated with myself and didn't really care about too much and barely was able to get out of high school.
Wow.
They should have never let me out of high school, to be honest with you. I was not a very good reader, and really, I think they got rid of me just to get rid of me because they didn't want me there anymore. But I didn't go to college right away, and that was very a tough thing for me. My father was a professor at the university, and so we were preached all of our life about education and how important education was, but I didn't go to college after high school, and about 6 years after graduating from high school, I decided that, you know, maybe I'd give it a try, and I actually applied to a community college up in upstate New York and couldn't get in because my grades were so bad. So I had to take remedial classes to get into college, and so I did my remedial classes, and then I went to the community college, and after 2 years, I was on the president's list and ended up transferring over to a four-year school. But, you know, it was such a, and that's why I think some of my story is so relevant, because there's so many people out there that just, you know, they lose faith in themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I at one point in my life had to take an IQ test, and my IQ was 92, and they told my parents that they thought that I had a developmental problem. And then when I got out of college, they gave me that same IQ test, and I scored 50 points higher into the Mensa category. Mm-hmm. So it all had a lot to do with my self-confidence and believing in myself. And I didn't have that for so many years, and now it's kind of like I might have too much.
Well, you can't have too much, but I understand what you mean. Well, there's a couple questions there, and I'm not a psychologist, Nancy, and I'm not going to presume or pretend to be one. But I have a couple questions for you because I think it will help other people. Why do you think, first of all, you know, I mean, kids are kids, And, you know, I look back on myself and say, yeah, I've said some pretty dumb things in my life, especially when I was younger and maybe as a, you know, growing up. But why is it just that people, anybody that looks any way different or has anything that is a little different about them, people just can't help themselves, and they just can't help but pick on them? Is that, why do you think kids
I think it's a fear. I think it's a fear that they don't understand the difference in people. Yeah. And I think that, you know, our society lacks the, you know, they don't teach it. How do you teach that?
Yeah.
You know, it's a sad place. I mean, I still do a lot of work with kids that have been bullied and stuff because it's so near and dear to my heart.
Sure.
And if these children really knew the outcome of what they were doing, I don't believe that they would do it.
Yeah. Well, and they are, and I'm sure you're aware of this, you know, there's a lot of efforts being made with anti-bullying campaigns and programs because, you know, there are stories like yours, Nancy, where people have had that happen, and it's just, you know, it's devastating to them, and you know, yours is a success story, and I'm really glad to hear your, you know, giving back and working with other people about this. And the that was going to be my next question is, you know, what do you say to the folks who have had a similar situation that maybe, you know, that it's kind of caught, they're in a rut, maybe doing something they don't want to be doing for a career, or maybe they have these ideas like you, but they just don't feel like they're the feeling of not having that confidence or, and just
it,
not
and
feeling.
And that's what it is, yeah. Dave. You really do have to believe in, you know, it's believing in what you're doing and having the tenacity not to quit at it. But the belief in what you're doing is what's going to carry you through the journey. You can't let other people's input. I mean, I had somebody laugh at me when I told them I was going to do this, but they used to come into my office, and I would be sitting around the table trying to figure out ways to do this, and they would laugh at me, and now they just go, holy God, I can't believe she did it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, that pretty much puts a bow around that one. I mean, but yeah, I think that is the inspiration, and people need to know that, you know, you can do this and you can make it work, and don't, you know, follow, you know, it's a cliche to say follow your dreams, but that's what you're telling people, Nancy, is that, you know, don't give up. And again, that's why I love the fact that you're coming up with this this class program that people can get involved with.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it because, boy, if I had that class for me, I would have saved hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Good grief. Well, what would you say to people was the number one surprise for you, number one surprise in this whole process of getting all the way to where you are to now with having brought the product to market and enjoyed, you know, obviously the benefits of that? What's the biggest surprise you had along the way?
I think the biggest surprise that I had was all the people that are out there that attest to being out there to help innovation when they're out there just to take your money. And there's so many thieves out there that, it was a rude awakening to me that people would actually say, hey, give me $10,000 and I'll help you bring your product to the retail market, and then not do anything.
Just except, you know, take your money and cash your check.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's,
you know, there's a lot of contracts out there that, I mean, one of the biggest lessons that I try to teach people is if you're going to go to contract, make it performance-based. They have to perform, and there has to be something in that contract what they're going to do and guarantee it to you for the money you're going to give them.
Yeah, I mean, actually expect somebody to do something for what you pay them, Nancy?
Exactly.
How dare you?
I know.
You know, listen, a lot of people are happy to take your money and enjoy it and spend it and all that stuff and not do anything for it. And you know, it's a sad state of, you talk about some of the challenges our country has. You know, we've got a pretty cool system in many respects, but sometimes people do get away with doing something, getting something for nothing and taking people's money and not honoring what they said they would do or the spirit of it, which is what, of course, a lot of us look to is, you know, what they intend to do. And then give me an exciting part that will also inspire people, Nancy. What was one of the things that most surprised you, maybe in a good way, that really said, hey, this was worth all the work. This was really cool.
Getting a phone call from the Steve Harvey Show and having them fly me to Chicago and put me up in a hotel and welcome me onto their stage to share my story.
That's cool. That's very cool.
It was unbelievable standing there.
And just the was that one of the things that made it really real?
Yes, it made it really real. And you know, the thousands and thousands of emails and hits on my website that I got after being on that show. You know, it's like you got to pinch yourself. I live in Daytona on the beach, and I was on Steve Harvey, all from a little tiny screw.
Do you ever just, because I would do this, I don't know if you would, do you ever walk into a store and you walk over and you wear, you know, the repair kit would be, or where, you know, the little kit would be, and you look it up on the shelf and go, yep, that's mine.
Yes. And the first time I ever did that, I was in the Walgreens, and I walked in the store and I seen it there, and I was like, whoa. Now,
that's
that was
too
a
cool.
moment, because it was so hard.
Oh, that's so cool. I had that something happen similar where I was on the beach and I saw somebody, I'd written a couple of books, and I saw somebody reading my book, and I was like, that's not anybody I know. So that means they ordered it and bought it on Amazon. That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
So it's neat when you see that. And again, obviously that those things for you are all, you know, big fat affirmations of what you work so hard for and made it happen. So you're working on the school, you've got the screw, and it's going all over the world to fix the eyeglasses.
Well, yeah, we just industrialized our screws. Now we have bigger snap-its.
Excellent.
We're helping to fix computers and all kinds of things. And so I just went to a license agreement with a fastener company out of Ohio. And,
cool.
You know, as I'm doing that, I mean, really, I'm trying to push the screw off to, in other directions, so I don't have to spend my time, and I get to really live my dream and my passion by helping others to innovate.
Outstanding, Nancy. Well, I tell you what, we'll have to have you back to give us an update, and I will send you a copy of that book so you can look at it yourself. Nancy Tedeschi, ladies and gentlemen, entrepreneur and inventor of Snap It Screw, and the website is snapitscrew.com. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you so much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.